Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. On our way to our conversation, I want to remind you that support for WEAA is provided by Gypsy Soul and Lil So-So Productions, announcing the official kickoff of the Baltimore opening of Fela. It's Fela Fever, hosted by WEAA's DJ Lovey of Africa and World Beat, May 13th at the Calypso Cafe. Tickets available online at felafever.eventbrite.com. We're about to have a conversation with State Senator Bobby Zirkin. There is a pipeline that is being proposed to be built through Baltimore County. It caught everyone by surprise. My wife and others went to hearings last night about this gas line pipeline being built through Baltimore County by the Columbia Gas Line, a 21-mile natural gas pipeline through parts of Owings Mills, Green Spring Valley, Falls Road, Cockeysville, Northern Baltimore, Falston, it really caught the world by surprise. Congressman Sarbanes said, "We know nothing about it. Nobody was informed. It just seemed to pop out of nowhere." And Bobby Zirkin, state senator from Baltimore County, whose district part of that line will run through, raised a lot of questions last night and raising questions about this altogether. And Bobby, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Mark, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we did call the folks at Columbia Gas. We asked them to join us. They declined. Columbia Gas Transmission, they did send a bunch of documents that we'll talk a bit about during the course of this conversation with Bobby. They might have had enough of Bobby Zirkin last night. I'm not sure, but
I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of each other on this little journey. So
Bobby, talk about the background. Tell me where this, what has happened, and why, what this pipeline is, and why we just seem to be knowing about it now.
So this company, Columbia Gas, which is a subsidiary of a major company called NiSource, capital NiSource, is proposing about a 22-mile pipeline through the heart of Green Spring Valley and the Falls Road corridor, all the way up to Falston up in Harford County. But it's part of a larger national battle that's going on. The same company, through different subsidiaries, is going all the way from the Gulf states on up. And so this is part of a huge expansion of their natural gas pipeline, and we're just one small speck on the map of this thing. And it came to myself and the three delegates, and I'm sure others, during the legislative, kind of in the waning days of the legislative session. And the way it was presented was quite different than what it was. They have a pipeline in the ground that's been there for about 45, 50 years, and it seemed like this was just a, as they called it, a maintenance effort or for reliability, kind of just a. And so it was kind of presented as a little nothing. And then, thankfully, some of our community associations, especially the Falls Road Community Association, really caught wind of what this was really about, and it's caught fire, thank God. I mean, I've been, trying to get a handle around this thing. This is a federal issue, but, I'm just a state legislator, and this is all in the federal purview. I mean, I spoke with John Sarbanes, and as you said, his office knew nothing about this. Senator Cardin, I'm not sure about Senator Mikulski, but there are a lot of people that are affected, a lot of communities that are affected, and most importantly, I saw some of the reporting on television last night, and unfortunately, sometimes when they only have a 2 or 3 minute soundbite on TV, it boils down to things that aren't necessarily the truth, the reality, and they talked about the not in my backyard, the NIMBY type of a syndrome, but that's not really what this is about. The pipeline, the way that this thing is going through, It cuts through and will plow through some of the most beautiful and pristine areas of Baltimore County, including Oregon Ridge Park, Beaver Dam Run, which happens to be state-protected land, trout streams, endangered species, and other things. These are state treasures that we have out here in terms of the environment. And to allow a company just to plow on through, and make no mistake about it, this is heavy industry. The pipe is only 26 inches, but if you look online and you see what it takes to put one of these things in the ground, it's going to look like a construction zone right through the valley and through the Falls Road corridor. And to do this on this line, it is without any regard to the environment and to the destruction of the environment. And I'm all for development, but economic development has to be with a balance of environmental protection. And this is anything but a balance. And so, we're going to fight this thing. We're going to fight this thing as hard as we can, with as much as we can. And again, this is a federal, it's under the FERC purview, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But, you know, that was what the meeting was last night, and we sure hope they're listening, because there were a lot of citizens that came out last night and many more that are going to continue to fight this thing.
Well, one of the things that shocked me about this when I heard about it, and again, I didn't know about this until I saw something come across the transom a few days ago, but then it was yesterday when I really paid a lot of attention to it, and then I heard about it from last night's meetings. But what was kind of took me back was that the amount of time left, which is less than a week, to have testimony heard that will be used by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to make its decision. So, I mean, how did that sneak up? I mean,
I don't know where these dates come from. Although the guy said, the gentleman from FERC last night, who's a staff member for that agency, I guess, did say, and I hope they'll stick to, that's not a hard and fast date. I don't know where that date comes from. What this company apparently, again, you know, 2 weeks ago, the terminology that I'm going to be using in this talk with you is all foreign language to me. I mean, I'm really just catching up, trying to catch up the speed of all these terms and what this is all about. This is has been a little bit outside my wheelhouse. You know, as you and I have talked about before, my areas have been juvenile justice and civil procedure and things like that.
Right.
Federal energy policy is a little bit outside my purview, but I'm trying my best to catch up. You know, apparently this company is in what's called a pre-application phase through FERC, or a scoping period. And, you know, I don't know the significance apparently the community has to make its comments in the pre-application phase by May 16th. And then based on those things, FERC will apparently come back to them either with go ahead and file your application or here are things that we demand you do. Or, you know, I was sitting with John Sarbanes, a staff member last night, Bridget, and she and I were trying to catch up on this process together, because this is new. In 15 years in office, I've never faced this issue before. But I have a feeling we're going to be facing it in the future, because this is not the only company that has lines through this area. And with the whole issue, which I know you've dealt with before, fracking and how these companies are trying to muscle up to try to get this fracked gasoline to and from, I have a feeling this is the first of, unfortunately, will be many battles out here on this very same issue.
And they say, of course, the statement they came up with that the Columbia Gas Company gave us said that there's absolutely no fracking. This has nothing to do with fracking, is what they say.
You know, well, what they said, it's an interesting thing. They are the transmission route, and so what they said is, well, we don't have anything to do with with the way the gas is extracted. We're just they call themselves essentially the highway, and the trucks are what the trucks are. That was how they described it. It's a little bit off, because what they are in fact transporting is natural gas that may very well be fracked from places like Western Maryland, but Western Pennsylvania and so forth. So essentially what they said is they're turning a blind eye to the material that's in their, quote, you know, their road, their transportation route. So whether they do the extraction or not, you know, just to turn a blind eye to how that natural gas came into their pipes is you know, it's an interesting spin on it. But, you know, that company themselves, they don't do the extraction. They're just the ones who take the fracked gas and send it along the road and pretend like they don't care where it came from. So that was their answer last night. It's an interesting spin. Probably took a while for the PR department to come up with that one. But
so the question I have is, I mean, that people who don't live in Baltimore County, people who don't live in that part of Baltimore County, people who live in Baltimore City or around the Beltway in Baltimore County or in Howard County or Anne Arundel County, who may be listening to the show right now, by the way, you can join us. It is live at 410-319-8888. Why should they care if a pipeline goes across Baltimore County?
Well, there's a number of reasons why. I mean, obviously the people that are on the route and the communities that are on the route should care, but everybody should care. Number one, because as I've said a number of times, people should wake up. This is not going to be the last one of these things. Because gas is cheap right now and because that is essentially unregulated in terms of the fracking that's going on, this is not going to be the last one. And so there are many communities and many homes and many neighborhoods that have gas lines that, you know, old lines that run through them. And you can bet that this will be the first of what will be many fights like this. So this is where we take a stand. So it's not just for the people that are on this route, but more importantly than the homes and all those things, which are incredibly important, and the safety issues, and people need to understand pipeline safety and all those different issues. But this particular route is going right through some of Baltimore County and, quite frankly, the state's treasures. And to allow a company simply to go on through, and I'll tell you, I'm sitting here looking right now at Beaver Dam Run, which is home to many species, geese and fox and beaver, and from what I understand, an endangered species, which I'll get back to in a second, the bog turtle, and lots of birds and all kinds of things. It's been protected by the Department of Natural Resources, the State Department of Natural Resources. It happens to be in my neighborhood. And, you know, again, I'll get to that in a second as well. But I'm looking at it right. This is land that all of us as taxpayers have footed the bill to keep protected. There's a trout stream that goes into our bay, you know, into the estuaries, into the bay, and all of the things that are important about the environment. This line, as it's configured right now, goes right on through. And they can talk about, they'll tell you, oh, well, we can do what's called directional drilling and things of that nature, because they'll say they'll mitigate. But the damage to the habitats for these animals will be inevitably will be destroyed. And they can't, there's no amount of drilling in any direction that can stop that. And we, the taxpayers, have footed the bill for treasures like that. Let me give you another one. Oregon Ridge. This thing's going to go right on through Oregon Ridge State Park, which is home to, as you know, lots of beautiful environmentally protected land, playgrounds, the lodge, and all, you know, where your wife was last night. I mean, I'm not going to get into the issue of whether or not they should have a pipe, because that is way above my pay grade. You know, I haven't heard anybody actually make the argument. I haven't heard anybody explain why they, quote, need it. I understand that the company wants it. Okay, I'm not going to get into that debate. That's not my that's a little above my pay grade. But to say that they built a line 50, 45 years ago, and thus that's the best line, makes no sense, because things have grown up around there. We've had Clean Water Act and Clean Air Act and Endangered Species Act and DNR protected land and streams and all those things that have grown up around this thing in the last 45, 50 years. If you were to construct a route, you would never draw the line from the Owings Mills station to Falston in the way that they would do it. You would circumvent, you would reroute around all of these environmental treasures. People would demand it. But, you know, so they say, well, we already have one, thus what's the big deal? The big deal is that these treasures exist, and they will be destroyed. And let me just tell you one little anecdote. I mean, yesterday I was being interviewed by a television station, and look, and I don't want any of this. Like, I want this all to go away. I'd like nothing more to get, not one more drop of ink on this from a political or any perspective, and have this whole thing go away. I'm being interviewed in front of the Beaver Dam Run yesterday, and literally a blue heron, a beautiful, very rare bird, flies up just before we're about to do the interview and perched itself right behind us to say, this is their home. I know it's a little corny to say that. It was really unbelievable. It's on WJZ's website. They show it flying in. It's really just incredible.
So
that's what this is about.
So let me. There's some questions I want to raise here. I'm going to go to the phones here first, but the question I want to raise when we come back from these calls, just about, we're going to ask FERC and the company why this feels like it was kind of sprung on the community without people knowing that this was happening, and also some other issues as well. I think that's one of the big issues. So 410-319-8888 is the number here. Bobby Serkin's with us, state senator, talking about the gas pipeline being proposed to be put through parts of Baltimore County that would take 300-acre swath right through some of those sensitive land in our state of Maryland. And Hank, you're on the air. Hank, welcome. You're on the air.
I'm blessed. How you feeling today?
Very well. Welcome, Hank.
Little something you didn't know about me, right? I am a amateur photographer, right? I like to get out when I can't, when I'm stressed from driving my car. I like to go out to these little parks and take pictures and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want somebody to run something through a state park, which is supposed to be mine? I pay my taxes, right? Like the man said, these are bills that we foot for the crab, for us to have crabs and trout and stuff like that, right? And for them to want to come in and tear it up, I don't think it's fair, right? Just think about a moratorium. You got people who actually sustain their living off of the waterways that they're going to mess up, right? Just running through the waterways. And then, like he said, these are state parks that are already earmarked not to be messed with. Why go through them?
Hank's always good to hear from you. You always have a comment that's worthy to listening to on almost every subject, on any subject we have to talk about. And I think, you know, I think that, Bobby, this is one of the reasons that it goes beyond just a county issue.
Absolutely. This is a state issue. I've been in touch with, I mean, this is all, we're really just getting our hands around. And a lot of us were briefed on this issue during the legislative session and from that time. So it's been a couple months, but unfortunately the briefing was slightly different than what this has turned out to be. This was just a maintenance project as it was built. It was for reliability. And as it turns out, it's part of this huge, large battlefield that's going on all across the East Coast. If you get online and you Google Jersey City pipeline, you'll see this massive fight with a company that's not called Columbia, but it's a subsidiary of the same company.
Nice.
By the way, this is from Indianapolis. The company, as I found out last night, was from Indianapolis, so you know, they're Colts fans. That's really all you have to know about this company. But nonetheless, it's going on from Jersey City all the way on down to the Gulf, and it's little communities like ours all across there having the same exact fight on different issues. Maybe it's, in Jersey City, it's about population density and them running pipelines, which the Jersey City mayor believes is dangerous. They had to get into federal – they're in federal court now on the issue because they lost at first. Our community, it's really about our environmental treasures. And there are environmental laws that we're going to make sure they stick to every single one of them. I mean, our hope here, Mark, is that they go around this. Like, if FERC sees that they absolutely need to allow this company to have a pipeline, another line that goes from Owings Mills to Falston, if that's what they decide, you know, I'm last night I said it, I'll continue to say, I implore them to make this company do a different route, to take it from Owings Mills and go around these environmental treasures, go up the highway. You know, they asked me for a different route, and I said, look, that's like asking me to do a different brand of brain surgery, but I'll be happy to try. Go up 795, and when you hit the next highway, take a right. I mean, don't go through neighborhoods. Certainly don't go through any of these environmental treasures we have. Go up the roads. We'll work with the Department of Transportation and see and make sure that can work. But at the end of the day, that is, you know, it's just one of those things. Hey, guys, go inside. Sorry.
It's all right.
My two girls just went in. You guys, go ahead inside. Hurry up. So at the end of the day, I mean, that was the solution. And there's something else I want to bring up because I failed to mention this. And this is something that, you know, I spoke with the Sierra Club and some of the others, who, by the way, I want to publicly thank them. The Sierra Club, League of Conservation Voters, and other environmental groups came out last night. They testified against this project. They have a written testimony. All of the environmental groups are getting active around this issue because of what I've been talking about. But something that even they didn't know, I found online that under the Endangered Species Act, if you Google Endangered Species Act, NiSource Federal Register, you can find that with this pipeline, shocking, that rather than deal with the endangered species, go around them and so forth, this company filed to get essentially an exemption from the Endangered Species Act to get a what's called a limited taking permit. I never heard these terms before. Apparently, that is a very nice way of saying that they wanted an exemption so they could go right on through and kill endangered species with this pipeline. You can see it right online. It's in the Federal Register. And you know, we're trying to track down and see if they actually got this or not. But it's just an incredible crassness as it relates to our natural environment.
I think that's an important point to make. And I also want to say that folks can go to our website. We're going to put up there where you can make your comments heard for the hearings coming up. And do you know when the next hearing is?
There's only one, and it's going on literally as we speak. I'm home with my two girls, so I couldn't make it again. It's up in Falston. Tonight was the last first meeting on this for the pre-application phase. But if people go to the website, they can make comments. They can do it online. They can send it to the secretary. We are imploring people. I'm going to be sending out email after email after email until May 15th.
And do you know what that website is, where they can go?
I think it's FERC.gov or something.
We'll have that on our website as well. Because I think that one of the strategies clearly here is if you divide it up state by state and just do it in different places, it can weaken the opposition or people trying to say there must be a better way to do this than this. And first of all, I think that this is critical for all of us to kind of deal with. It's our environment. It's our future. And it needs to be a more democratic process when these things happen, which is some of the things we're going to look at and talk to the folks at FERC and find out why it was so last minute for all of us here in our communities to learn of this. And I want to thank State Senator Bobby Zirkin for taking all the time he has tonight. And, Bobby, thank you so much once again.
Mark, thanks for doing this, and we'll keep you posted. I mean, this is These guys want to. They said last night they want to be on this expedited timetable, and they wanted to. They literally want to start building next spring. I mean, we begged FERC at the very least to slow this thing down. You should know your Department of Natural Resources has not had an opportunity to do a full assessment. I'm sorry to give you a couple more facts, but the Jewish Times actually out my way did this article about it, and in there I saw a quote from Columbia's PR person, and they said that they had done an environmental assessment. Well, that's not true. It's an inaccurate statement. It's not accurate. And the reality is our own Department of Natural Resources has told FERC that they do not have enough time before May 16th by any stretch of the imagination to do a proper environmental assessment, let alone a full environmental impact statement, which is what this will deserve. So, you know, I do feel like I said to somebody today, it's like our community is David against 100 Goliaths, but it's still worth the fight. We're gonna battle this.
As we all remember, David won the battle.
Yeah, he only had one Goliath. they got billions of Goliaths over there. So we're hoping that they see the light, do the right thing, sit down with the community, sit down with the environmentalists, and if they need to have a pipeline, you know, explain why, and if that's the case, go around our environmental treasures out here in the valley and the Falls Road.
Bobby Zirkin, thanks so much once again for joining us. Always great to have you with us, Senator.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Take care. All the information will be on our website. And thank you all for listening today and being part of this program. I want to remind you that WEA broadcasts live from the island of Curaçao Labor Day weekend during the Curaçao North Sea Jazz Festival featuring Jill Scott, Carlos Santana, Indy Iree, and more. Information at weaa.org. Brought to you by the Curaçao Tourist Board, Princess Peach Resort and Casino, and public radio WEAA 80.9 FM, the voice of the community. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Harrison and Justin Levy. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. Our interns are Alexis Smith, Alex Pearson, and Tiffany Means. We're engineered by Regis Tucker. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find out information about our guest and what we talked about tonight, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.